Thanks, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, November 14th, 2015. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Gibbs Dube. Here are our top stories this evening. Zimbabwe has been urged to combine indigenous knowledge systems and conventional ways of tackling the El Nino weather phenomenon likely to cause severe droughts and floods in most countries this year and in 2016.
The responsibility, the duty of the government to educate people on the alternative crops given the weather changing patterns.
Prosperity gospel under self-styled prophets has become the order of the day in Zimbabwe.
People are coming to get deliverance and healing in the prophetic and also the word of God.
And top soccer teams fight it out in the Easy Call tournament.
Easy Call won one at top 8 cup. The semifinals will be played on the 5th and 6th of December.
Zimbabwe has been urged to combine indigenous knowledge systems and conventional ways of tackling the El Nino weather phenomenon likely to cause severe droughts and floods in most countries this year and in 2016. Professor Peter Mandi of the National University of Science and Technology and development expert Vumani Ndlovu believes that government should assist in preparing for such devastating weather conditions. Millions of people in eastern and southern Africa are facing droughts and floods due to the El Nino weather condition caused by the warming of the Pacific Ocean. Lovu says there is a lot that can be done by local people and government in preparing for El Nino, troublesome birds, and the armyworm.
The responsibility, the duty of the government to educate people on the alternative crops given the weather changing patterns.
Now, Professor Mandi, it seems as if El Nino is focused to continue strengthening into early 2016, causing more floods and droughts. Now, the question is, what is going to happen to Zimbabwe? We know that Zimbabwe has been having serious problems in terms of food shortages. So what next for Zimbabwe?
I think there's got to be, first off, a much better integration of all knowledge about farming within the country. And of course, as you all know, Mugabe and his government back in 2000 chased off all the white farmers who had lots of knowledge, but in particular, they knew about irrigation. And in the communal areas, there's little, if any, irrigation. And this means that you must depend on rain-fed agriculture. And when the rain is going to be less or unpredictable, then you're in a problem, isn't it? And so if what's the chance of the government saying that we need some expertise from the previous white farmers, especially in terms of irrigation, you can then grow maize, or what's the possibility of them having good crop yields from sorghum and millet? The problem with sorghum and millet, which I expect Mr. Ndlovu would agree with, is that it gets devastated by quelea birds, what we would call on this side nyoni. And I suspect that's the main reason why rural people don't want to grow millet and sorghum, because of the bird threat.
Mr. Ndlovu, how serious are these quelea birds in terms of devastating crops?
These are some of the challenges that the rural people face of these quelea birds. But currently, the planting season has not yet started, so we can't say it has become a serious issue. But usually during the cropping season, they experience such challenges.
And how do they control them?
There is the indigenous knowledge system that they use. The rural people have got their own indigenous knowledge system that they apply to control the challenges of quelea birds.
Professor Mandi, is there any scientific way of controlling quelea birds?
Yes, we've been controlling or trying to control quelea birds in Zimbabwe for 50 years. And it's one of those animals that the more you try and control it, the more numerous it seems to be. And so the way that the Department of National Parks, or what's now called Parks and Wildlife Management Authority, the way, their favorite way, is by poisonous spray. And whereas what Mr. Ndlovu is talking about in terms of indigenous knowledge, or IKS, that would be disturbance probably by boys during the day. And secondly, for people to go and try and remove baby quelias from their nests. The problem with the poisonous spray, of course, is that it's expensive. It's usually put on by aeroplane or backpack mist blower technique, and so it requires quite a bit of skill, and we've not, to my knowledge, been able to build capacity in communal areas to do this control effectively themselves.
And Mr. Ndlovu, how do communities use indigenous knowledge to control these birds?
Using their own locally devised mechanism of controlling them without any scientific knowledge application.
Professor Mandi, do you use some of these methods that you take from communities to actually control these quailia birds?
No, not at all, because none of those methods actually control the bird. That is, you know, put in little cages to trap birds next to the fields, using buoys to run to and fro through the fields to disturb the birds, or to get villagers to come and remove the baby birds from the nests. None of these methods, in our view, actually control the quailias. What you must do is kill adult birds en masse, and that's why we've developed over, I'm telling you, the last 50 years, we've developed a very sophisticated method of spraying the birds with this chemical called Fenthion, which is marketed by Bayer under the name of Quelliotox.
There are some other issues that normally affect farmers. You know, the armyworm and grasshoppers and all those kind of things. It seems as if this is an annual problem. This time around, what can you advise farmers to do as the season is setting in?
My advice would be to say that they approach the agricultural extension workers who could probably assist them with chemicals to control the armyworms, grasshoppers, etc.
Professor Mandi, do you have any solution to some of these issues?
The thing with the armyworm is that it comes down on the rain fronts with the ITCZ. If it's going to be El Nino, those rain fronts are going to be weaker, and I would therefore not expect armyworm to be a pest this year. Similarly, with the grasshoppers, actually properly called locusts, they're unlikely to be a problem this year, again, because of the lower rainfall.
That was Professor Peter Mandi of the National University of Science and Technology. You also heard Vumani Ndlovu, a development expert of the Rural Communities Trust. Both were speaking with Studio 7 from Bulawayo. We also spoke to Dube Mkombe of Binga about El Nino.
We have not much capacity to be read on that issue because we are a small community. We have got a disaster committee of the district, which is fixed by the DA. But as you know, the government is broke. If the government is broke, we might have preparations, but they need the money.
Is there any way that you are informing villagers about this in El Nino weather phenomenon?
We are still waiting whether maybe we still need to capacitate the stakeholders first, because normally me as the council chairman of Bingara DC, I have to be equipped in terms of information first from the disaster management of the district, maybe at the provincial level, so that we can take that information, same information with our chiefs and the villagers, taking the information on the ground. There's so far so good. Maybe it's through a process which is made at the provincial level.
So what is going to happen?
We've got a government with a president with a cabinet which should be ready for all those forms of drought and other weather issues which we are talking about.
That was Dube Mkombe, Binga Rural District Council Chairperson, speaking with Studio 7 from Lubanda Ward in Binga. Direct from Washington, the voice of America, VOA. Religion is the opium of the people, German philosopher and economist Karl Marx wrote during his time. The quotation rings so true in Zimbabwe, where hard-pressed citizens are turning to a different type of religion than the one Karl Marx knew back then. Prosperity gospel under self-styled prophets has become the order of the day, and to some restive Zimbabweans, a source of hope, as Michael Cariati reports.
Walking in the streets in Zimbabwe, the talk everywhere is on self-styled prophets and how they are attracting hundreds of thousands of people who are flocking to their places of worship for assistance on their day-to-day problems. Many have left their traditional churches seeking to improve their lives through the touch of self-styled prophets. One of the prophets, Emmanuel Male of the United Apostolic Church International, claims he is receiving thousands of people.
People are coming to get deliverance and healing in the prophetic and also the word of God.
Chitungwiza resident Samuel Maunganidze says the reason why more and more people are visiting the prophet is because of the economy, which has made it difficult for the majority of them to financially sustain their day-to-day lives.
When things are not okay, when you do not have a man to support your family, you are spiritually down.
Another Chitungwiza resident, Munei Murombezi, says hospital bills have also gone far beyond the reach of many, to the extent that they found solace in the prophet.
People cannot afford to foot their medical bills.
After losing a job on a three-month notice, Tembile Muza says she found another job after visiting one of the prophets. What, however, is disturbing is the manner in which some of the prophets are executing their duties, with reports of sexual abuse of women becoming the order of the day. These, says Murombezi, are not men from God, but fake prophets. Maunganidze says this is betrayal to the same people that the prophets are supposed to serve, saying the law should take its course.
I think in that case, government should intervene and probably put a stop to that. The police enforce and stop that.
Another section of the community is also of the opinion that these prophets have turned religion into business, if they are selling the anointing oil they dish out at a premium. Some are charging the anointing oil for $10, while others are going for $5, which Maunganidze says is commercializing religion.
There's a growing tendency in Zimbabwe that is very shocking. Surely, if you want to assist people or help people or pray for people, why should you charge? What you know is, even in the Bible, Jesus did it for free.
Murombezi also adds his voice, saying this is no longer saving the flock, but business.
If there are true prophets, those things are supposed to be given for free. It's now a business.
Mwale, however, says their anointing oil is for free and for everyone who needs it.
We also have free anointed water for everybody.
However, there is a section of society which does not believe in these prophets. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
As usual, it's now time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Tonight on the Women's Forum, we have the pleasure of speaking to Zelina Francis, the Business Development Director of ZimSelector.com, an organization that caters for Zimbabweans in the diaspora. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Zelina.
Thank you.
Tell us about your product. When was it launched and how is it doing so far?
So we've launched the ZimSelector.com portal officially in June this year at a very grand launch that was officiated by the Governor of the Reserve Bank. We've had a very resounding success in terms of awareness, predominantly in the Zimbabwean market, because that was very well publicized in the local market. The Governor's presence, I think, did a lot to instill confidence in the community, because usually you're seeing an upstart in financial services. Given where we've come with the financial crisis, there's a lot of skepticism. So that carried a lot of weight, and we've taken that to the nth degree to make sure that the awareness is great in Zimbabwe. Our challenge now is making sure that the awareness is there in the diaspora. And Zimbabweans, as you know, live far and wide, and tapping into all the various networks, which is an interesting challenge for us, because we're trying to find out all the different ways that we can communicate and reach out to Zimbabweans, which is why we're talking to stations like yours today, Marvelous.
Tell us a little bit about your product. How does it help Zimbabweans in the diaspora?
So the ZimSelector.com product, we basically founded the principle to make life easy for Zimbabweans, primarily Zimbabweans in the diaspora, who want to purchase financial services products like insurance and access bank accounts, etc., and open mortgage accounts, but do not have the luxury of being accessible to these branches and offices. And as you know, most of the insurance and banking organizations in Zimbabwe are not geared to dealing with an online clientele. They're not selling products online. They don't have aggregators in that market. So we basically came up with a product that would make it easy for any Zimbabwean to do the normal that you like to do, which is compare a product before you buy it. So we brought together the leading brands in all of the niches, whether it's medical services, funeral services, insurance, and banking. Reputable brands that have products that we know are dependable and services that we know they will be able to deliver, so that people can compare their products side by side in a matter of minutes online and then be able to get some quotes and, most importantly, make that payment. So this, therefore, empowers the Zimbabwean abroad to take ownership of their financial destiny without having to worry a relative or friend, send some money back to Zimbabwe and and rely on somebody else to do the comparison and selection for them. All too often that money doesn't get there, or it gets there and it doesn't end up being used for the intended purposes.
So if somebody were interested in using your product, where can they find you?
www.zimselector.com is a very simple website address. www.zimselector.com. We also do have a customer services office that is based in Zimbabwe. So on the website, there's a contact us form if you simply want to ask a question. But if you're ready to get that quote, we'd encourage you to do one just to test it out to see how quick and easy it is. But if you're absolutely ready to buy, then we'd love to have your business log on, get your products and buy. And everything on there is safe, it's secure, fully regulated by the Insurance and Pensions Commission and by the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe. So there's absolutely nothing to worry about. And our relationship with those service providers is extremely tight. So everything that we sell, they absolutely will guarantee and deliver.
Time is not on our side. Thank you very much, Zelina Francis, the Business Development Director of ZimSelector.com, an organization that caters for Zimbabweans in the diaspora, for having been our guest on the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women.
Thank you very much for having me, Marvelous. It's been a pleasure being here, and hopefully we'll be back to talk more about our product as we evolve our product and solutions to Zimbabwe.
This is Marvelous Mutlanga Nyahuye. Join us again next week when we'll look at other issues affecting women.
Thanks very much, Marvelous Mutlanga Nyahuye. We hope you are going to have a wonderful weekend. And finally, in sports news, Premier Soccer League games continue with some teams fighting for top honours, while others are squaring off in the $80,000 Easy Call tournament. We spoke to PSL Chief Executive Kenneth Ndebele about the league games and Easy Call tournament.
Easy Call 1-1 at Top 8 Cup. The quarterfinals are on this weekend. The semifinals will be played on the 5th and 6th of December. And then we close the season with the final on the 12th of December 2015. We hope to conclude the Castle Premiership by the weekend 28-29, where we'll be crowning champions for 2015. So far, so good. We expect that the remaining fixtures, all the teams will be playing, the teams in the top three will be playing at the same time, same days, and then those teams that are fighting relegation will also be playing around about the same time, so that we avoid manipulation.
Now, looking at prizes for the top teams on the league table, how much are they going to get?
The winners of the Castellaca Premiership will receive a check of $100,000, and the winners of the Easy Call Cup will pocket $80,000.
And finally, Ms. Ndebele, do you think that the league matches went well this year?
Well, overall, they went well, with one unusual situation where a club failed to fulfill a league match. That we took seriously. There are areas which we feel we need to work on. This is the environment of the stadium, throwing off missiles, especially for clubs with a huge following. We are encouraging club leaders to take responsibility, communicate with their fans, and make sure that fans understand that the game is about family sport, it's about friendship, it's not about fighting.
That was Kenneth Ndebele, Premier Soccer League Chief Executive, speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. Now to recap today's top stories. Zimbabwe has been urged to combine indigenous knowledge systems and conventional ways of tackling the El Nino weather phenomenon likely to cause severe droughts and floods in most countries this year and in 2016. and prosperity gospel under self-styled prophets has become the order of the day in Zimbabwe. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris Gande. This is Gibbs Dube in Washington, D.C., wishing you a pleasant evening and a very, very good night.